Yes.
Yes, Cymru Radio.
Yes.
Radio Free Wales.
Yes.
Hello, yes, welcome to Radio Yes Cymru. My name's Sean Dobbins, and with me today is Nick Stradling from Welsh in the Movies. You may be familiar with the stuff on Facebook and YouTube, which Nick has been posting over the years. You may also be familiar with the Red Wall film he made from Wales in the Euro 2016. He's now got a new project, Spirit of 22, which is about the Welsh World Cup movement and the independence movement, and also the fans going down to Qatar. So, Nick, welcome to Radio Yes Cymru. Let's kick off and just add a little bit about who you are and then about the project about going into Qatar.
Diolch yn fawr, bore da. Who am I? Well, I'm 44 tomorrow, and I do a website, a YouTube channel called Wales in the Movies, which hopefully some of you have seen. The initial aim of which was to improve the conversation around the representation of Wales in films and TV. That's it. I'm an English language teacher, Nick, yeah, so apologise for that, language of the colonizer and all that. That's my profession. I'd very much like to make documentaries about Wales. If I had money, no object, life, and I didn't have to earn money, I'd be traveling around Wales in my car making documentaries about us lot.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're down in the Independence March in Cardiff on the 1st of October, you've seen Nick kilted in the Welsh kilt and a really nice Wales away white top. And then you've been sort of raising money, crowdfunding, some support from Yes Cymru itself, but also individuals across Wales and beyond, I'm sure, have given money. The target was 4,000. So this morning you crossed that, which is good news. So you're going to Qatar, and this is basically for you to go out, do some work, and then obviously the post-production, all the editing and that entails. So
yeah,
why are you doing this, Nick? I mean, I'm going to be the cynic. Is it a trip for Nick to go to Qatar, do you want to sort of document what is it? Quite a big and seminal movement, I would say, in Welsh history.
I think that's completely fair. I think Euro 2016, when people tell me it was a big moment in Welsh football history, Welsh sporting history, I'd say, yeah, but no, it's much, much bigger than that.
Yeah.
Is there been a time in the world where as many eyes in the world were looking at Wales as June 2016? I'd confidently say no chance.
Yeah.
And the same goes for now. It's even bigger now. So is this a trip for me? I don't know. The amount of stress I've gone through the last month, I'd have to say, I don't know. What am I getting out of it? I maybe might make a minimum wage. But no, it is for me. Like, I love talking about Wales. I love meeting the fans. I had such a great time in 2016. I think that documentary shows you could feel the love in the city in that weekend. The gratitude and the joy was tangible. So I'm hoping for something similar. I'm prepared for it to be very different. But the main motivation, Sean, is that, we know each other a little bit, but the representation of Wales is everything about what I do. And this is a moment of unprecedented representation. I want to document it, and I want it to help bring people on board to a more adult discussion about what we do in the future, you know?
I mean, we'll have to touch on it. I mean, the people, and for obvious and worthwhile reasons, are very unsure about Wales going to Qatar, or rather, I think maybe the World Cup itself. I think we can all agree the World Cup should not be in Qatar. End of story. It should not be there. Certainly, it should be outside of Europe, certainly in new territories and countries outside Europe and in different parts of the world, and even places where maybe, yes, it's not the best place to live, but maybe you can see maybe there's an argument for the World Cup improving things, maybe because of the spotlight it entails. But I mean, there's big, big questions about Qatar. I mean, I'm sure I've seen people are saying, why is Yes Cymru giving so many towards Nick going out to this? Weird. Why are you going out? I mean, how would you answer those accusations or concerns as well?
Yeah, I mean, they're concerns I share. I couldn't believe the first time I heard it was going out there, to be fair. It's a strange one, you know, because we want it to be in a Muslim country, and then you give it to a Muslim country, and it's this country, which has got such a dodgy record that we all know about. My opinion is that this is an unprecedented moment of Welsh representation. Now, I'm not, of course, if any of us could flick a switch, if any of us could pay money and have it in a different country. I mean, I would happily pay personal money of my own for this to be in another country, but it ain't. Yeah. And I don't think, of course, I mean, I'll have a conversation with anyone and listen to any perspectives about why they're not going out there, why they want nothing to do with it. I mean, for example, Ryan, who runs the Shag fanzine up in Wrexham, was very good about this recently when we spoke. I mean, he said, I want absolutely nothing to do with it. But I understand everyone who doesn't feel like that, you know. And I feel that this is a golden opportunity for Wales to be recognised as a country. And I think the bigger picture is that. My film, the focus is very much on the representation of Wales as a country internationally and what it feels to be seen by the world. I'm almost certain that there will be spoken content in the edit that's going to touch on these issues. I think it would be a bit remiss not to do that. But I do need to be careful to keep the focus too. This is a celebratory moment. There are other larger organisations who have a bigger access than me in terms of shining a light on these very worthwhile issues.
Mm.
And my focus will be to represent the fans and their journey. And whatever opinions, whatever themes come out of that, is my job to present in a way which includes as much as I can.
So just that the audience can have an idea then. So basically, going out to Qatar, talking to the Cymru fans in Qatar, about who they are, what they're doing, maybe their views towards Wales and Welshness, and also maybe people from different countries as well. Is that the kind of idea, Nick?
Yeah, I mean, I will be interviewing. Instinctively, I go for anyone I can. And I have got two crews filming in Cymru because the motivation for that was I know there's going to be proper hardcore fans who aren't going out there for ethical and financial reasons. So that was the reason why we chose to shoot a northern and a southern location. So we got a crew up in South Seren, up in Wrexham, and we got a crew down in Tiny Rebel in Westgate Street in Cardiff. And they're there to get the thoughts of the fans back home. So I very much wanted to have that back at the ranch feeling, as they say in movies. But I'll be mainly interviewing Cymru fans, Sean, obviously. I mean, if I see some Americans out there, I'll go for them. If I see some people who want to speak and want to talk about what they know about Wales, I'll be going for them. But I'll be getting... The questions are, you know, I'm sponsored by Yes Cymru. I'm a member of Yes Cymru. I've been a member since day one. Yeah. I think I was member number 35 or something. I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
I was there at the old library in 2016 when we launched it. However, I do want this to bring people on board as well. And I don't believe you do that by banging the drum so hard. The themes I'll be looking for are representation, visibility, self-determination, you know, yes, Wales can, that sort of thing. Of course, Yes Cymru's banner is going to be on it big time and has been so far. But I want to bring people in as well. And that's the beauty of Welsh football, I think, Sean, you know, when you're supporting Wales in the football, you are de facto supporting an independent country, whether you like it or not. I think there's power in that, right?
I mean, by now, I mean, Bordeaux, France 2016 was a seminal moment. I remember sitting in Bordeaux with my dad and there's some bunting up. I know the flags of Germany and France and all these proper countries, as people used to say. And whereas my dad goes, you know, he's 82 now, he goes, you know, this is how it should be. We should be here as a proper country. Right. I know it was like a very heartfelt moment for him and for myself. And so a lot of people, I think it clicked for a lot of people there. And you know, it didn't mean everyone goes towards independence or Yes Cymru, but I think a lot of people said, okay, we can do this. You know, why aren't we even just deciding our own, if we can have a patron saint day off or whatever, control the Crown territories and resources. So, I mean, it has opened conversation. I think also just having, it's different to an international match, isn't it? Because it's a one-off. So people are going on the bus from Tumble or Wrexham or whatever, they're down in Cardiff for a day and then they're going back and they meet a lot of Welsh people. But I think what happened in Euros was a lot of Welsh people were there together for weeks or certainly a whole or long weekend.
Right.
And I think that's never really happened. It sort of happens in the Welsh language with the Eisteddfod, people go there for 3 or 4 days the whole week. And even if they don't discuss politics, I think the affirmation there makes it more normal then to discuss it possibly. And I think what happened in France, all those thousands of people from different parts of Wales just talking to each other. I think in Wales, that's never happened really before. We were just together talking, everyone sort of on the same team, literally. And, you know, the differences weren't so obvious. And maybe that's a tragedy of Qatar, because I'm not going, partly because of financial and, you know, almost anywhere else in the world, I would find that money, but I can't. Yeah. But I mean, so I think what you're doing is trying to bridge that in a way, bring a virtual version of that. I'm glad you're filming Cardiff and Wrexham. That's important as well. And trying to get those connections again. So, I mean, how... It's almost trite now to say that football and the Cymru football teams bring people together. But have you seen difference from, say, France in 2016 to now, and things, how people are looking at the Welsh team or looking at Wales, or with the presentation of Wales, you know, outside Wales, or how people seeing it?
I think so. I know my job, so I'm an English language teacher, so I meet hundreds of new people from overseas every month. And some might say I use the job as a kind of Trojan horse for teaching Welsh history, which wouldn't be totally inaccurate. So I tend to ask my students things like this. I mean, I know, Sean, the first time I heard the word Cameroon, 1990.
Yeah.
I know the first time I heard the word Costa Rica was also 1990. The first time I heard the word Saudi Arabia was 94. First time I heard the words Burkina Faso, I think, was 2004. These are all because of international football tournaments.
Yeah.
And these are massive moments. And I feel a change. I thought Euro 2016 would change a lot. I feel it will do it slowly rather than overnight. But it transcends all of the politics, this. When you see yourself represented, and when the kids see us represented, this is what I mean about it being a longer term thing.
Yeah.
The kids in this generation are growing up in a totally different national context to what we did, particularly if you're in the Southeast, for example, and you've got an English-speaking family.
Yeah.
The kids growing up now have got a totally different backdrop to what it is to be Welsh. And it's not about pride. I don't like that word. It's just about normality. There's none of the old stigma. There's none of the old stigma now. You know, you see the kids singing Omar Hood this week.
Yeah.
That's important, and you can dismiss it all you want. You can call it trite. You can call it cultural nationalism.
Yeah,
it transcends any politics. You know, this can, like, you know, I tend to vote Plaid Cymru. I'm not a member. This can do more than Plaid Cymru could achieve in 100 years just seeing ourselves there. And I felt a difference. Yeah, I mean, within the fan base itself, there's more confidence. There's more numbers. And it's brought people in, which is great. Success brings people in, so you can't be, you know, jealous of that. You can't be against that. I mean, what you mentioned about togetherness is huge. I've just taken the Red Wall film off YouTube because it's going to be a new cut going out on the DVD of Spirit of 22 as an extra feature. However, if you really want to watch it, I could show anyone. I'm showing it in Wrexham tomorrow, the Red Wall, and one of the big features of that is the fans talking about there's none of the divide here. There's none of it. It's all people from Pontypridd, Pwllheli, Porthmadog, Wrexham, Cardiff, whatever. Yeah. We're all just together and we're all as one. And it was magic. And so, I mean, I think that's absolutely still there. And I think when it comes to Wales, that's only got stronger over 6 years. So it's very much something I'll be looking to capture as well.
Yeah, because I think, what is great, I think, with the Cymru, the Wales movement, and you know, that sort of bleeds into the independence movement as well. I think they've managed to create that sort of patriotism, call it what you're, pride, and they've channeled it in a good way. I mean, it's an inclusive one. You know, the things people could do better, and they could do more of, or whatever. But I think they've used the vehicle of nationality to bring in people and to make that change. And, you know, other football associations do this as well. I think there's been good work, to be fair, with football in terms of trying to tackle things like racism, because it was a huge problem. It is to some extent, but certainly I think certainly in Western Europe, I think there have been serious work by, you know, in Wales and England and other places as well.
Yeah.
And what they've been able to do is bring people in through a patriotism or nationalism, whatever call it was, and bring a very positive message to them. Football for women, you know, this is totally unheard of even 10 years ago, really. And not least because of hard work by people like Rory McAllister and other people as well, and pushing them forward. But I think it's such an exciting thing that the FAW, the Football Association of Wales, have become a vehicle for change.
Yeah.
And that video they made, the Omar Hood song, I just couldn't believe it. You know, I mean, it's so powerful. It was a bit risky, but it's basically, I think, where a big chunk of Welsh society is. It's sort of, you know, on the left, sort of plaidy, labour-y, that kind of area. And, you know, and yes, it is a bit maybe romantic saying we've always been, you know, fighting against stuff, but that's not a bad narrative to have when you've had a narrative in other places of, you know, we used to rule the world, you know. So I'll take, you know, the slightly romantic, you know, we've been downtrodden and we've been trying to fight for our communities, whatever way people define that community, rather than, you know, we used to run the world type of thing. So I think it's a very powerful national motif to have.
That's the reality, isn't it? I mean, there is a kind of duality when you talk about this Welsh stuff, is that we've got to go there. We've got to go to the fact that we are defined by survival and kind of a certain conflict, you know. So I'm interested in movies and storytelling, of course. That's where I started my YouTube work. And of course, the central key to any movie script and story is conflict. That's what it's all about. Yeah. And like on that field, you've got that rectangular field in a couple of weeks, especially when we play England on the 29th. I mean, you've got a conflict there that people are going to see and go, what's going on? Why is Gareth... A billion people, Sean, are going to watch these games and work out what Wales is for the first time. Now, you could... In screenwriting, we say show, don't tell. You could tell people Wales is a country until you're blue in the... flipping phase. I've done it abroad overseas, you know, it's all sorts of
in the pubs,
it's not as powerful as this picture, you know, and they're going to see that conflict on the football pitch, and they're going to ask some questions and they're going to learn stuff, and we are defined by that conflict. Wales exists to be not that other place. That's the reason we had to make ourselves, isn't it? So that Emma O'Heed thing is great. Did you see the video, the short tweet they put out? I think it was Hemo with the Welsh guy in Cardiff approaching David Ewan, going, connecting with the lyrics.
Yeah, I was very emotional watching that.
And yeah, I'm pretty sure, I suspect he's not a Welsh speaker. No. But like, and that's the beauty of Emma O'Heed, isn't it? It's so universal. You haven't got to be Welsh to get that, I don't think. Yeah. The idea of just survival and still being here, you can apply that to anyone, anywhere, you know, that sentiment. Yeah. So I think they've done really well to jump on Emma O'Heed. I mean, I think Ian Gwyn Hughes in the FAW, I don't know the inner workings of the FAW well, but I mean, I've got a lot of time for Ian Gwyn Hughes. I think he's been massive in terms of bringing the players and creating like a bed of authenticity there.
It's also so important because, I mean, I remember standing on the top of Wingfield Road in Cardiff, catching a train and bus down to watch a Wales match, something like 1983. Bloke stops me, see I'm wearing a red and white scarf, goes, it was one of these periods where we're doing quite well, but we never qualified, you know. But it was another one of those. And he goes, playing? Local bloke, he's about 40, I'm about 13, 14. And he goes, Wales playing really well. Yeah, it's really good to see Summer doing so well. And I goes, what's Summer? He's trying to say Cymru, but he'd never actually heard the word Cymru. So I presume I had a scarf saying Cymru on it or something. And the man's obviously empathy is supportive, but that's how fast. You know, so in Cardiff in the 1980s, people literally didn't know how to say the word Cymru because they'd never heard it. And that's the huge change. And I think, and it wasn't, I mean, when we played Ukraine in that playoff, I was thinking, you know, Ukraine's a country literally fighting for its existence, you know.
Yeah.
And I was slightly embarrassed, you know, we aren't independent. You know, I mean, people across the world have been asking, and they have asked in generations past, you know, why have you got a football team at all? So I think if it wasn't for the whole package with the language, it's a valid question. It's a fluke of history that Wales and Scotland have got football teams. And, you know, I think
that's a very good way of putting it, a fluke of history, fluke of history.
Yeah, it's one of the great three flukes of Welsh history, that translated in the Bible in 1588 and the referendum in 1997 is a great fluke of history in Welsh history. But, you know, I think we've had to, you know, to promote and embrace the language and all that kind of identity. Otherwise, people are going to ask him, why have you got a football team?
I genuinely think I was part of the early generation of that. So I remember in 1989. 1989, they brought in a Welsh teacher to my primary school, Albert Road in Penarth. And we used to mock it, you know, because I was brought up in that context. We used to mock it. The same year, I went to Wales versus West Germany in the National Stadium in 89. I remember hearing Welsh language on a tannoy at halftime at the old National Stadium. And me and my brother had a little giggle, you know. We were like, and then where we've come from there, I think, is magic. And particularly the last 10 years, John, I think, has even been more. But yeah, that fluke of history, I mean, I think it's sacred. Like, you know, imagine what a Basque or a Breton
would
do for the
Oh yeah, I mean, and even the Kurds, you know, I mean, there's, you know, Tibetans and all these countries across the world would love to have what we have, and it's just a total fluke. And you know, we've had to fight for it, and that's why Mahid and the Welsh football fans have always been so vociferous, and maybe more nationalist with a small end than the rugby fans, because you know, rugby is basically a British colony game, isn't it? I mean, it's not a big thing. But I mean, with football, we've had to fight for it because people are trying to get rid of the team. I was interested in the thing you said about the younger generation. I was thinking about the recent election in the USA for, you know, the midterms. And it's basically the Generation Z, is it? Won it for the Democrats. So there's absolutely huge swing. You know, it's, you know, partly with women, people of colour, but also with the younger people under 40. Voted Democrat and basically saved the Democrats. And I think there is a big generation change in Wales as well. So, I mean, I think you and I are sort of on that cusp where we're just about maybe could be inside. But the younger people is just such a natural thing to be happier in, you know, so Welsh skin, and that to be a very diverse one as well. So I think imagine
With my kids, right, Sean, it's a weird one. Like, my brother, for example, is very much a British nationalist, you know, in what I would call a British nationalist. He believes in the UK. He identifies with the UK. And he's kind of jokingly said to me, so you must have given the kids quite a bit of a push towards, yes, Cymru and independence. And I said, well, no, not really. I've a couple of well-timed nudges. I mean, but I like to think that I appreciate kind of exposition well, and a couple of little nudges at the right moment. And basically, Sean, with what we got at the moment, with the culture we're surrounded by, with the language, they're brought up bilingually, the football team, devolution, all you got to do in that situation is not show them British propaganda. Like, we grew up with the, God save the Queen, closing the BBC every night. You know, we grew up with three TV channels, four TV channels, very much presenting us with a British context. I mean, I was a big Blackadder fan when I was a kid, and the only three references to Wales in that show are completely condescending and insulting.
Yeah.
And all you got to do with the kids these days is just not lie to them. If you don't lie to them and show them that, they grew up with the natural jump of logic, which is to, you're in a country, that countries run themselves.
Yeah.
Like, it's abnormal to not run ourselves.
Yeah.
And the kids, I think, in my kids' generation and after, will grow up in that environment, and it's massive.
Yeah, and this is, we've got about 10 minutes left, I think, as a chat. Yeah, I'd like to just go a bit about who Nick Stradling is. You've been doing these films. Is a Penarth boys or Cardiff? I'm not too sure.
Yeah, no, Penarth. Well, yeah, Penarth. Yeah, family's from Grangetown, Cardiff, but yeah, I'm from Penarth. Yeah.
So, I mean, so how did you, and I said you would, in that first meeting, launch of Yes Cymru in February 2016. Yeah. So what made you come over to sort of the independence movement? I know your background is you're not from a Welsh nationalist or a Welsh independence background. So I mean, what happened to you?
Tell me about your father. I don't know. Yeah. I think definitely the support for Indy cemented my status as the black sheep of the family. But you could put it down to travel abroad. So I've backpacked a lot. So I think in 1999, 2001, I backpacked around the world, Asia, Australia. I've met a lot of people.
So just for people who maybe are listening to this are not seeing you. So you'd been what, in your early 20s?
I'd have been 21, 22, right, 20, okay. 21, 22. And even speaking to Australians, I talk about Wales, that it's not England, that it's not Scotland, that it's in the UK, but it's blah, blah, blah. And movies would come up a lot in that conversation, and particularly the Braveheart word.
Oh, okay.
That would come up a lot. And that kind of sowed a very early seed, I think, in what I wanted to do. I came home in 2001, and again, a fluke, my dad, who was just delighted that I was taking an interest in history in any context, because he's a historian, and I wasn't a studious kid, got for me a copy of The Dragon Has Two Tongues on
VHS. Oh, right.
Okay. And that's hard to look back from that moment, I think. So I realised while watching that series and basically falling in love with Gwyn Williams, that, again, it's show, don't tell. I saw in that series that this place has got a national history. Yolla Morganwg is a big one, learning about him, Treweryn, of course. But even, you know, stuff which people might balk at, like The Age of the Princes and Llewelyn the Last and Glyn Dwyd. I mean, that stuff just showed me a national conflict and struggle. And yeah, since then, I went backpacking again about 5 years later when I was in my early 30s. I had very similar experiences trying to represent Wales. And I think then when I came back, slowly this had all been building 10 years. I came back, had some kids, saw the Scottish referendum, saw Brexit, job done.
Yeah.
And here I am, really. And that's it. But the motivation was always when I started the YouTube channel, Showing Wales in the Movie, I wrote my dissertation on representations of Wales in pop culture. It basically came to a theory that there are two main ways that you can represent a country internationally, particularly a stateless one like ours. And those biggest ways are football, World Cup, Hollywood movies.
And
at that time, we had neither. Now we got one.
Yeah.
And I suspect that having one may lead to having the other one somewhere down the line too. People balk at this as well. I want Wales, Sean. If you want to put this on my MO for Wales in the movies, I want Wales to get the Hollywood treatment, mate.
Yeah.
Now, people don't like that. They think, oh, no, as if it's beneath us or something.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think everyone else gets it. Yeah. We should get it too. I want Welsh history to get the Hollywood treatment. And I think that'd be huge for our confidence to see just some representation there of what we are. And that's what I'm all about, I suppose you could say. However, I do enjoy making documentaries.
I agree with you with Hollywood and people will balk at it, but now with Netflix, I mean, people are watching also more and more international films and TV series. And we are learning more about different stories given across the world. So, I mean, it's not a natural thing to hope for. So just to wrap up with the Spirit of 22. So going off to Qatar for the whole duration or just for part of the competition, or what's his plan?
I don't earn enough, Sean. I don't earn enough to go there. It was a good job that I didn't plan to go out there for the whole tournament because I was then offered a full-time job for a company I've always wanted to work for.
Right.
Which is only temp, but if I'd taken that job, if I committed to a month in Qatar, I wouldn't be able to have accepted the job. But the film is about the opening game. So Bordeaux, Red Wall 2016, it's about us coming out to the world. Yeah. It's about capturing that moment, the catharsis, the catharsis of the emotional release of that moment. So it's very much themed on, this is our first match in the World Cup. I mean, I think effectively ever. I mean, it isn't, but disrespect to the 58 boys. But for the fans, this is a huge moment of catharsis. We're coming out to the world, we're being seen. So I'm out there, I'm in Dubai, I'm in Qatar for match day only. I'm out of Wales for 5 days. So I'll be filming from the 19th, 20th, 21st, 22nd of November. And my crew's back home. Big thank you to all of them. And I'll name check them on social media soon. They're filming in Wrexham and Cardiff on just for match day, match night.
Yep.
And the rest of it is going to be the surrounding parties in Dubai and Qatar. And that'll just be me in my kilt, sponsored by Welsh Tartan Centres. Welsh Tartan Centres, I've got to mention them as well as Yes Cymru, because Tony from there approached me in 2016 and saw I was wearing a kilt and said, next time you do this, come see us. We'll give you some gear.
Oh, marvellous.
They believe in the same stuff. They believe in distinguishing us internationally, visually. So I'll be out there in my kilt with my camera. You know, anyone who's out there, come and say hello. If you want to give your thoughts.
So you want to hear from people. So if you are going out to Qatar,
give
Nick a shout. And also, if you're in a Tiny Rebel or a Tight Set End for that first game, which is against the USA, if I remember correctly, which is absolutely, you couldn't write that almost.
In terms of
getting recognition across, it's the most powerful country in the world.
It's perfect. We've got England, USA. I mean, wow.
Yeah, to be honest, when I heard we were drawn against England, I thought, oh no, it's going to be more this Battle of Britain stuff. As someone pointed out, it is for once and all. Just sort out Wales as England. If you're literally playing against them, you cannot be the same as England. So, I mean, I hadn't thought of that. I mean, I prefer if we weren't, because I'd like to see other countries. But, I mean, the first match against the USA, just sort of, you couldn't write that almost. So you want people to give you a shout. Do you want to give a quick shout out to the other people who sponsored you on the film as well. You just talked about the Welsh Tartan Centre and a couple of other.
Oh yeah, Welsh Tartan Centre. So we got Johnny Owen, although he hasn't got back to me with any logo that I could put on the film. Oh. So Johnny Owen is a sponsor.
Yep.
Good man. He sponsored straight away, which was brilliant. Gwynedd Disposables, company up in the north. We got St David's World. So a guy who I've met through doing this called Tim Openshaw. He's got a social media platform called St David's World. It's across Facebook, Twitter. It's about bringing Welsh people together. He's been so helpful, putting me in contact with people, getting me tickets to matches. Just a top fella. He's been massively helpful. Also, we got Coleman Court Manor Hotel. So my old schoolmate Sanjeev Bhagotra, who I bumped into in Bordeaux, runs the Coleman Court Manor Hotel, which you would have seen in the S4 series, 35 Hour.
Oh, right, okay.
All that series, yeah. It's been on S4C. They've sponsored us. And who else have we got? We got
Penwisk, is it?
Penwisk, yeah, is the latest one to sponsor too.
And Penwisk, Penwisk manufacture hats and stuff like that, because I know they've done some of the Yes Cymru hats when I was chase. I remember that. They're based in Caerphilly, I think, isn't it? So
yes, that's right. Yeah. Also, I've been a band called The People, The Poet, gave me access to their song called Spirit of 22 for my trailer. Thanks to all the people who appeared in the trailer, like, you know, David Yuan, Julian Lewis-Jones, Laura McAllister, Rupert Vyas, Bryn Law, The Sheen was in it, you know, gave me some of his time, you know, just fabulous.
Oh, marvellous.
Sage Todd's, I haven't been able to include him in the trailer because I was going to put him in the second one. Tinty and the Bucket Hats, they gave me access to their song. People are kind of, to be honest, for my ADD brain, like, you know, too many people have reached out because I've just got messages coming out of my armpits and I'm kind of spinning out about it. But, you know, people have reached out, people have sponsored me. Just Yes Cymru put an email out 2 days ago, and that really put me over the line in terms of getting those wee donations. So everybody who's contributed and shared, like, it's given me a bit of a warm feeling. It's, you know, there's been times when it's been frustrating. Like, I'm sure you'll know about this yourself. But
well, you phoned me when I was in a cafe in Kiev.
That's right.
Just somebody else. I thought, okay, that's a big ask, Nick. But you've reached the target of £4,000 thanks to the sponsors and to just people putting money in their own pocket. And I know things are tight now. And it's good. And the good thing, and we just wrap up now, is, you know, in 20 years' time, Nick, when we are independent, you know, people will be looking at documentary films like this and saying, you know, right, that's how it felt in 2022. That's what was going on. See how things have changed since then. And I love these pieces of history, you know, these clips. Sometimes they're intentional, but just you see how things have changed, not just the clothes, but people saying things they wouldn't have said, they wouldn't say 20 years later or whatever. And, you know, it's just going to be fantastic, I think, slice of history. You can stick it on a plate and you watch in 10, 20 years' time and see how things have changed and progress, because I think things are changing and things are progressing as well. Nick Stradling, thanks for making time early in the morning to speak to Radio Yes Cymru. It's great to have you on board. It's our first effort on recording on Zoom, so hope it works. Maybe people like to see faces, maybe not. And it's also on sound. But
I didn't put my moisturizer on for nothing, mate.
But I was going to shave, I didn't bother, but I did brush my teeth. But no, have a great time in Qatar. Look after yourself. You know, we need to be spectral as well. But I mean, of all the places in the world, it could have gone, please have gone to somewhere else. But if you're in Qatar, give Nick a tap on his shoulder. I'm sure he'll be very glad to speak to you. And if you're in the Tiny Rebel in Cardiff or South Setup in Wrexham on a game again, I will word the camera boys there, because I'm sure they'd be very happy to talk to you there as well. And I'm looking forward, someone's chucked in a quid, to seeing the end product and seeing how Wales does reflect on world stage, the biggest world stage, World Cup in Qatar in 2022. Thanks a lot, Nick Stradling. Thanks for making time. There'll be more stuff on Radio Yes Cymru, maybe on Zoom again, on YouTube and stuff. See how it goes. But we're going to produce more content for you in the coming year and so. Okay, thanks a lot. Diolch yn fawr I chi.
Yes Cymru Radio.